Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 68, and read again at verse 28. Psalm 68, verse 28. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. And also at the end of the psalm, verses 34 and 35. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Here, as we considered already on Sabbath morning, there is a procession that is on the way to Jerusalem, likely on the occasion of bringing the ark from the house of Obed-Edom to Mount Zion, the city of David. God's temple, that is the place of worship, was there in Jerusalem. And the psalmist anticipates the time when the kings of the earth would go to Jerusalem to bring presents there. And that is certainly to be applied to the spiritual Jerusalem. However, there may have been a literal fulfillment. The spiritual Jerusalem is the church. And a day is coming when all the kingdoms of this world will belong to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, the psalmist is directing every one of us to praise the Lord. Verse 26, bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. It's not only in this stately procession, but in the solemn assemblies, praise is to be offered up to God. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. And that is the people of God. They are the fountain. The people of God, the church, is compared to a flowing stream, the people who are the fountain of Israel. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. And we should ask ourselves, do we belong to that fountain? Where one generation after another is, as it were, flowing into it. Not every individual in the generation, but people, every generation, God is gathering in his elect, and they are, as it were, flowing into that fountain as the stream continues on, one individual after another stepping into this fountain, identifying themselves with Christ and his cause in the world. Are you one of them? Are you not one of them? If you're not, then you should cry to God for mercy, because the Lord hears the cries of the helpless, those who have no help of man at all. He hears the cries of the destitute. Cry to the Lord that he would pluck you out of the mire of sin, pull you out of the fire that you deserve, and bring you into this fountain, this comfortable fountain, the stream of God's people, and bless God with all of his people. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. Well, do you belong to that stream? Are you one of those who have, by grace, identified themselves with the church, with the cause of Christ, among his people? Well, if you have, then you will feel your need of strength. You will feel that you cannot continue on without the grace of God. You will feel your need of God's power. But how thankful you and I should be that that power has been provided. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. God has provided strength. It has been commanded. He has purpose to give it. And so the prayer is, strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. And with the Lord's help this evening, we will consider first the provision of God's strength. The provision of God's strength. thy God hath commanded thy strength. In the second place, the putting forth of God's strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. That God would show himself mighty to save. He would put forth his strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. And thirdly, then, the praise of God's strength. We find that at the end of the psalm, ascribe ye strength unto God. We should praise the Lord for his strength, the praise of God's strength. So these three points this Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting here, the provision of God's strength, the putting forth of God's strength, and the praise of God's strength. The psalmist is speaking to Israel. He says, thy God, he's speaking to the people of God, thy God, O Israel, thy God hath commanded thy strength. God is your God, thy God, and your God will never leave you. Your God will provide for you, and he will provide strength for you. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Yes, you have strength, O Israel, but your strength has been provided to you. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Your strength is not of yourself. Your strength is from God. He is daily loading you with benefits. He is giving you your strength. Your strength is not your own. Your strength consists of God's mighty power working in you. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. And we might look at it in this way, that God's decree has ordained the strength of his people. Just as God's decree ordained the nation strong, God has ordained the people of Israel. He has established them, and he has ordained that they would be strong, that they would not be overcome. So the strength that God gives to his people, he has purpose to give it to them. He has ordained this. He has purpose from eternity that his people will not be overcome by sin and Satan, although at times they may feel overcome, but ultimately they will not be mastered by anyone because, as we have often quoted, sin shall not have dominion over you. Ye are not under the law, but under grace. God's purpose for his people is that they will be strong. Thou hast commanded, thou hast ordained strength, just as we read in a similar way about peace in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 12. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Thou wilt ordain peace, establish peace. God has established it, in fact, from eternity. And it is his purpose that his people will continue. They will persevere to the very end. The path of the just is as the shining light, which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So he has purposed it. And he has also promised it. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. He has decreed it. He has also promised it. And this strength is revealed in his word. He has given many promises that he will strengthen his people, that he will subdue his people's sins. He will tread down the people under us. And that is by giving them the grace to overcome their enemies. To tread down their enemies. He will give them the victory. In the book of Isaiah, we read, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. He has promised, child of God, to give you strength. Why should you doubt? Why should you be in fear when he has purposed and promised to give you strength? Your God has commanded your strength. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. In the book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 32, we read, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You know that God is strong. You know that he has purpose to give you strength. He has promised to give you strength. And knowing that, you go in the strength of that, you will be strong and do exploits. You will accomplish great things by the grace of God. The promises of God are so many, and it is God's divine power that hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. So God has given many promises, promises of strength, that through these promises you might be made holy and resist sin and Satan. But not only has God commanded the strength of his people by purposing it and promising it, he has also secured it. That is, his Son, Jesus Christ, has secured this strength by his death. He has purchased strength for his people. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, and he died on the cross to secure the gift of grace. The power of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, has been secured by his death. He died on the cross to purchase that strength for his people. It is through the cross, through Jesus Christ dying on the cross, that the Holy Spirit comes. And we're to look by faith to Jesus Christ who was crucified, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Faith in Christ crucified. So the Spirit is given through Christ. God in Christ has secured this strength, not by might nor by power, not by the power of man, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That is how God's people will prevail, because thy God hath commanded thy strength. And this strength is provided. Thy God hath commanded it. He has provided for it. He has made it clear in his word. He will give you strength. He provides strength. This is what God does. We read at the end of verse 35, the God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. This is what is said of God. This is what God does. He is the one who gives strength. Therefore, we should go to our God to get strength. And there are two things to remember. Two things to remember about God's strength. What are they? One, God's strength is infinite. Two, God's strength is for our benefit. Very easy to remember. Two things to remember about God's strength. It's infinite, and it's for our benefit. God's strength is omnipotent. His power is unlimited. How we should meditate upon that. God's strength. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. This, the strength of God's people is from God, who is infinite. But secondly, his strength is engaged for our behoof, for our benefit, for our profit. It's for us. God has promised it, and he has engaged his strength for our help. Those are the two things to remember. And we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His strength is unlimited, and his strength is for us. Well, then, in the second place, the putting forth of strength. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. An alternative translation is, be strong, O God, who hast wrought for us. It amounts to the same thing. Be strong, O God, it's a prayer that God would show himself strong. He would reveal his strength. In other words, he would put it forth. He would exercise his strength on behalf of his people. He has wrought for us. He has already done great things for us. But abiding by our text, thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. God has already wrought for us. He has worked for us. He has done great things for us. and we are to pray that he would strengthen it further. He would continue to establish it. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. It's again, simply a prayer that God would put forth his strength, as we read in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 9. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. So God has already put forth strength in the times of old, delivering his people Israel out of Egypt. And the prayer there in Isaiah 51 is that God would continue to put forth strength in the same way. Put on strength. Show thy powerful arm in strengthening thy people. And here in our text, strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. God has already wrought. He has worked. He has worked for his people. He has delivered them. He has helped them. He has strengthened them. He delivered them from their enemies in the past. And the prayer is that God would continue to deliver them, continue to help them, strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. We read earlier in the psalm, verse 14, when the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow and salmon. Perhaps this is speaking of the time of the judges, when God gave his people Israel victory after victory over their enemies, the Midianites, and later on the Philistines. And when the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow and salmon. Well, salmon is a mountain near Shechem, usually it was dark, this is a dark mountain, but when it snowed, it was so bright. And when the war turned into peace, when there was a great victory and God made all the enemies to scatter about, he put them to flight, all of these enemies, it was as if Mount Salmon was now shining brightly from darkness to light, from war to peace. How bright and pleasing, how dazzling is this peace that God gives. Well, he did that in the past. And the psalmist is praying that God would still deliver his people. He would strengthen that which he wrought for his people. And so he prays in verse 30 that God would do something similar. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls, with the calves of the people, till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. He has already scattered kings, and he's asking God to scatter thou the people that delight in war, that Satan's kingdom would be destroyed, that he would not be successful in tempting God's people and drawing away the church after error and heresy. That's how we may apply it in our day. Well, just drawing out some of the imagery from the psalm to give us perhaps a better understanding, rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls, the company of spearmen, or perhaps you see in the margin, it reads the beasts of the reeds, which may refer to crocodiles, which is a symbol of Egypt. So really the psalmist is praying that these heathen powers would be conquered for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Messiah, for Christ to come. The multitude of the bulls and with the calves of the people. Well, the bulls would refer to the leaders of the enemies, and the calves would refer to their subjects. All in all, it is the whole heathen nation that is to be brought into subjection to Christ. Till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver, that is the sign of submission, when the enemy would give tribute in the way of silver to the king who has made conquest over them. So scatter thou the people that delight in war. All the kingdoms of this world are going to submit to Christ in his kingdom. And that's a promise that we should lay hold of. So we're to pray, strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. we may be a little congregation, but can we not say this is the doing of the Lord and wondrous in our eyes? It's the Lord's work, and we pray that God would strengthen what he has done for us, that he would advance his cause. He has commanded it. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. He has commanded that a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us, praying the Lord to advance his cause still in the world. Paul, the apostle, was confident that what God had done, he would continue to do. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God has elected his people. Christ died for his people. The Holy Spirit regenerated his people. And he will not leave his people till he has strengthened them to bring them all the way home to heaven. So the individual child of God should be praying in regard to this text, strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. The Lord has saved me. He gave me grace. He wrought grace, faith in my soul. I cannot deny the experience of his grace. He has brought me to where I am, and I pray that he would strengthen me further. He turned me from idols to serve the living God, and I pray that he would work in me still and give me the grace to resist sin still, that he would help me in my weakness, in my lowest state. I feel sometimes no strength at all. But Lord, strengthen that which thou hast done already. Thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us. Thou hast done everything. I have done nothing. It is thy grace. I'm an unprofitable servant. Whatever I have done, it was by thy grace, and it was required anyway. And all that I've done has been tainted by so much sin, so that my best works cannot merit eternal life. But at the same time, I cannot deny it is thy grace that has wrought in me and show me the preciousness of Christ, show me the evil of sin, has drawn me to Christ and given me a desire to serve him and to please him, to love grace and to desire to exercise grace. This is not me. This is thy grace working in me. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought in me. Thou hast promised to give more grace. Thou hast purposed it. Thou hast commanded strength. Then, Lord, do as thou hast said. Do as thou hast commanded. Thou hast commanded strength. Then strengthen me still, and forsake not the works of thine own hands. And finally, the praise of God's strength, which we find in the last verses of the psalm. Ascribe ye strength unto God. Literally, it is, give ye strength to God. It's the same as we read in Psalm 29 and verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. But how can you give strength to the Lord? You cannot give him what he already has. But you give strength to the Lord by acknowledging his strength. You give glory to him by acknowledging he is glorious. He is worthy of worship. Give strength to him by ascribing strength to him. Recognize fully that he is almighty and give him the glory that is due to him, the glory of his strength. Ascribe ye strength unto God. How we should be thankful to the Lord for this promise and thankful for the strength that he commands, and that he is almighty, and that his strength is engaged for the benefit of his people. He has promised it. It is set for our relief and for our help, for our profit. And what's more to thank the Lord for is the fact that he is already working in us. This strength that we desire It's already in operation. As the apostle said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think," he's able to do this. "Ascribe ye strength to the Lord," he's able to do far above our asking and thinking. And then he says, "According to the power that worketh in us." It's his power already working in us. "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, to all eternity. May glory be given to him in the church." And the whole psalm is speaking about the fountain of Israel, the church. And it's in the church, in Zion, the spiritual Zion, the spiritual Jerusalem, that God hath shined. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. And he will have glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And to him who is able to do all things, able to do above what we ask or think, according to the power that's already working in us, to him be glory. So ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. God's strength is over the universe. It's over all things, over the highest galaxies. So far from us, God is upholding all things, the whole universe in his hands by his power. And that power is showing us how unlimited his strength is, infinite power. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. He is worthy of all reverence. His power inspires awe and reverence of him. He is worthy of worship. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. In the church, again, the sanctuary, God reveals himself. His power is made known here in the word that is proclaimed in the gathering of God's people together. The congregations are gathered, and he is blessed out of the fountain of Israel. Thou art terrible out of thy holy places. And finally, the God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Blessed be God. Is that your experience? Is that your desire to praise God because he is the one who gives strength and power unto his people? So we've considered the provision of strength, God's strength, the putting forth of God's strength, and the praise of God's strength. Have we been strengthened with this strength, this spiritual strength? Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Remember, this is strength that has been secured by the death of Christ. This strength is available to us only in Christ. And if you desire to be strengthened by grace, if you desire to be delivered from the power of sin, if you desire to be delivered from hell and the power of Satan, you need Christ, because this strength is in him. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of grace, the strength of God, is through Christ. And he it is who reconciles sinners to God so that they might enjoy his strength. Friend, if you resist him, you will lose. But if you yield to him, this strength is yours. And he tells you, this salvation is offered freely. And that in him, that is, as he reveals himself in Christ, there's no wrath. There's no condemnation. He says, "Fury is not in me." Fury is not in God when he reveals himself in Christ, and you come to him through God through Christ. But if you resist him, it's like trying to put thorns and briars to put out a fire. The fire will consume the thorns and briars. He says, who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. But then he says in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 5, or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Peace through the blood of Christ, by taking hold of his strength. And as that's taking hold of Christ himself. Lay hold of Christ. Come to God through Christ, and you will have peace. Peace that passeth all understanding, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. May he bless his word. Let us pray.